listening to The Cooler Ring, a podcast made for manufacturing marketers. Here are Carmen Perry and Jeff White.
Welcome to The Cooler Ring, a podcast for manufacturing marketers brought to you by Cooler Partners. My name is Jeff White, and joining me today is Carmen Perry. Carmen, how you doing, mate?
Look, I'm happy to be here. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
This is like the day before I go on vacation, so how could I complain, really?
Yeah, I don't think you're allowed to complain.
No, just
especially given that there's like 4 feet of snow on the ground
here. Yeah. I mean, I'm not phoning it in though, Jeff. Like, I am here. Like,
yep.
You know,
present.
Never let it be said that I took off a day early.
No one would ever dare say that. But that's not what we're talking about today.
No. You know, there's just so many layers to today's story, you know, like the kind of returning to kind of work in the family business, you know, really applying a lifetime of marketing kind of experience and talent to acquisition along the way to manufacturing for the first time. I just look forward to diving into it. I think our guest has so much to teach us and our listeners today. So let's just dive in.
Absolutely. And you know, there's an absolute ton of manufacturers that are like this, these small family-owned multi-generational companies. And yeah, I think it's really interesting. So,
and put small in air quotes, because they're not, you know, like, but small manufacturing enterprises are still incredibly large businesses. And it's like, you're right, Jeff. I mean, they're everywhere across North America. And frankly, the succession planning for those enterprises is a clear and present issue, really, for many of them. And so so many layers.
For sure. So joining us today is Kimberly Day. Kimberly is the Director of Marketing Communications at Finnish Thompson. Welcome to The Cooler Ring, Kimberly.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Kimberly, I really appreciate the fact that there was a little bit of a typo when you logged on to Squadcast and you said D-A-T for your last name versus Day, and I was so hoping it was going to screw Jeff up. Like,
as I was saying, I'm a big fan of New Orleans. I think it just was very subconscious that it came through.
These things happen.
But, Kimberly, let's... let's jump right into it. Can you introduce our listeners to Finnish Thompson and to you a bit, if you will?
Okay, let's start with Finnish Thompson. Finnish Thompson has been around for nearly 75 years. It started off as a manufacturer of finishing, putting decorative coloring on metallic materials. So, for example, the grill of a car. You know, like that, like your little BMW or Cadillac symbol on the car. Those sort of things is what we started off doing. And then my father, who had come into the company as in sales and then rose up, ended up buying the company. And right around the time that he was transitioning from president of the company to purchasing and being an owner in the company was right when they were starting to recognize the need for purifying solvents. So they were personally using a lot of solvents, and then they would have these large barrels of sort of dirty, cruddy solvent. And it was very hard to, you know, what do you want to do with these ginormous barrels? And so they created these pumps so they could still use the solvent again. And that really propelled them to move into completely redoing the company and focusing it on specifically pumps that work with corrosive chemicals, corrosive fluids, which is where we're at now.
I love that pivot. That's an incredibly interesting, place to go to from where it originally was.
It really is, but if you think about it, it makes sense. They recognized the problem they had, solved it for themselves, and then thought, "Wow, I bet other people have this problem." So started to move that, and they did some acquisitions along the way to get to where they're at. And now, as we sit, we are in. Like virtually every city in the U.S. or state in the U.S. I think we're in 40 plus states. We are in a myriad of city or countries across the world, and we're on 6 of the 7 continents. Our pumps are in use on 6 of the 7 continents. So it's pretty incredible. This is my family's business, and I didn't even really fully realize it until I kind of came in and took fresh eyes at it.
That's hilarious that, you know, wait a minute, we're in six. We're global. I thought I was out doing other marketing work, and I didn't realize there was such a great story to tell. It's kind of interesting. So tell us about that. What were you doing prior to coming to Finnish Thompson? And then, yeah.
I always say that I Forrest Gumped my way through my career. I started, it's a completely accurate analogy. I started here in Erie. I was working for a broadcast company as their creative director, writing TV and TV and radio commercials. And then I moved to San Francisco and had never done PR in my life, and got a job with a medical association. And they needed somebody with broadcast experience because they wanted to grow their communications group. So they were patient with me learning PR, and I'd never written a press release before. And then I left after several years there. I moved to DC and took a job as an editor and writer for a natural health and wellness newsletter, and had never done editorial before. But my grandmother had owned a bunch of nutrition stores, so I actually knew the space. So that's why I say I just sort of always landed into something, and then just along the way, just kind of cobbled writing TV and radio. Oh, okay, doing press releases. Oh, okay, doing content marketing and editorial. And then within that, realized I had a gift for branding and coming up with what your theme should be, what your, you know, where your strengths are, what are the weaknesses to grow on, and just really kind of went from there. So I have been doing that, depending where you want to start, for probably a good 20 to 25 years.
I love that you also dropped that your grandmother was also an incredible entrepreneur.
Oh, she was, that's a whole other, she was in for her time. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. I think that's what's really nice is that, so when my dad passed away, my brother took over the company. And between my dad and then this grandmother was my mom's mom, we just had incredible role models in our lives in a very organic, natural way for being an entrepreneur, taking risks, but taking smart risks, learning the space that you're in and how to grow it, not being fear-based, but just being smart about it. I am insanely blessed that we had such powerful role models.
Did you think that the experience that you had, I mean, it sounds like you learned something new with each career move that you made and you know, laterally within the field of marketing and communications, but did you think that would apply to manufacturing when you came to Finnish Thompson?
In fact, we had a long conversation about me making the transition for a lot of reasons, but one was, far with the exception of working in television, the vast majority of the rest of my work was in something related to health. It was either a medical association or an actual life science, or it was in health insurance, but it had always had that mark of it. And when we discussed me making the pivot to manufacturing, I wasn't sure if I was honestly going to like it. It just seemed kind of dry to me. And you want me to talk about pumps? I mean, really? And I'm used to talking about heart attacks. And this is nothing, you know, this isn't fun. But then I also realized all of the different ways I've pivoted from industry to industry and thought, okay, the skill set is pretty comparable. So I just went in and talked about, who are your customers? Like, maybe this will be the interesting part. So it's not about the pump itself, but I wanted to look at, what problem do these pumps solve? And that was a game changer for me. I'm literally obsessed with it. I remember looking at my brother going, are you kidding me? Our pumps are in over 90% of every dialysis machine in the United States. Why don't I know that as your sister? We have pumps in major aquariums across the country, Vegas, San Francisco. Why don't I know that? If I don't know that, then your current and potential customers don't know that. And then I was hooked.
And I mean, it's not like they weren't doing marketing before. It's not like they weren't telling at least a little bit of their story, I'm sure. curious, was it, you know, did you just, you see an opportunity to put a different lens on things and just start tugging those efforts in a different direction?
Yes, that's a great way to say that. There's a lot of different aspects of marketing, which is one of the things that I love so much about this space. Marketing can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. It could mean advertising. It could mean sales support, literature, collateral. It could mean, you know, what I like to do, which is branding and content marketing and public relations and communications, tends to all fall under that marketing umbrella. And when I came into the company, their focus had really been on advertising. They were putting advertising into pump trade publications. They were doing a little bit of pay to play. We'll put in X number of ads in the magazine and we'll give you one or two bylined articles to write, you know, that sort of thing. And then the other aspect of what I would call their in-house marketing was creating graphics and producing literature for sales support. And all of those things are incredibly important. When I came in and we talked about the goals over the next, you know, 2 to 3 years, it was really about getting who we are out there. As long, we've been around for so long. We've been a leader in the space for so long, but with the caveat of for those people who know us. And so my role and my job is to make sure that when our salespeople go into a distributor or a customer, they don't have to tell them who we are. My job is to make sure when they walk in the door, people already know who we are. And for me, that means less focus on advertising and more focus on branding and what I would call the content marketing side, making sure we are telling our story to people who don't know us versus telling our story to people who already do.
I think one of the challenges that many manufacturers have with taking that approach is that, it, you know, in some ways it feels inherently less measurable, or at the very least less connected to sales pipeline or immediate bottom line impact. How have you approached that? Have you, you know, is it a, are you like, look, I'm your sister, you can just trust me here, it'll work? I mean, I can't imagine they're just going to let you away with that.
I think anyone with siblings would know that that is the opposite of what happens when it's your sibling. Under no circumstance.
I was trying to get a fight started, you see.
Yeah, no. It wasn't like, hey, trust me, your sister. It's like, yeah, but don't you remember when we were 12? Like, that's not going to happen. Fortunately, it's my brother. I adore him. He's incredibly smart. I made the agreement with him that he had to treat me like a director of marketing and not, you know, after 5 o'clock, we can be siblings, but between 8 and 5, we have to be coworkers. And I wrote up like I would write up for any client or any employer. I wrote up an entire plan, and this is what we need to do, and this is the success, and this is what I've done elsewhere, and this worked, and laid that out. And we started slow and small. It's only been 7 months. So to say slow and small, it's only been 7 months sounds funny. But I started with social media. There was very little social they were doing. And the social they were doing was basically the equivalent of taking those print ads and putting them on social. It was sort of that type of social. And I instead came and took a different tact and started focusing again on what is the problem our pumps solve. So I started focusing on the industries that we serve, talking about the industry, talking about how those industries rely on pumps like ours, then focusing on a success story that we've had in a company in that industry, and then maybe talking about the pump that solved that problem. And really, I'm a storyteller, and you can do that in every industry, is what I've learned. And it's really fun to do it in the manufacturing industry, because it really does start with knowing the problem you're trying to solve for. So you've got to know your industries, and you've got to know how the pumps are needed. And then you can come in and talk about how you solve that problem. And we've seen incredible response online. Our social has skyrocketed. We are getting, it started off with phone calls from and messages from people who are starting to see our stuff, and now they want to sell us something. Or, oh, you're doing this, we want to do this. And then it kind of morphed into, you should come advertise with us. Oh, no, okay, now we want you to come advertise with us. And then now it's starting to be, tell me more about this pump. Can I get a quote? I didn't know who you guys are. We are seeing, we went from like no shares to one or two shares a post to in some cases 15, 20, 25 people sharing the post.
It's interesting because a couple of those leading indicators to other people sound like a nuisance, right? Like they're like, why are we getting a bunch of these calls?
Trying to sell us stuff.
Yeah, like, can we make this stop, please? And you just cited it as, yeah, that's how we knew we were actually starting to get on the right track. That's very, very interesting.
There is, when I was explaining it to somebody, they said the same thing, like, I don't get it. And I said, oh, did you watch Sex in the City? Yes. I'm like, do you remember when Samantha was starting to promote Jared in his modeling career? And she started list first, it's the this, then it's the this, then it's the this before you. I'm like, it's the same thing. It's, there are going to be the people who are going to notice you first, and then it's going to be a little more people, and then it's going to be your target audience.
I just want to take a moment to recognize that this is the first time in the history of the Cooler Ring that Sex in the City has been brought up. I am absolutely certain of it.
And Forrest Gump. Forrest Gump and Sex in the City.
I'm not sure about the Forrest Gump reference, but man, that Sex in the City one, I know that that has not happened.
You can take marketing lessons from anywhere.
Absolutely.
Exactly right.
She did PR, so she knew what you know, the writers of her character knew what they were talking about.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, frequent listeners of the podcast will certainly know that we love the topic of finding and selling into niches and the verticals that you're identifying. Have you been primarily working in the ones where you already have something of an audience, or are you also exploring places perhaps where Finnish Thompson pumps haven't been used before?
Really great question. We have dipped our toe into virtually every industry that has a pump. We have industries that we would like to grow into is probably a better way for me to answer that question. The two big ways that we're looking at growing right now is the green energy space. So solar panels, wind farms, things like that. And then ironically, the petrochemical space. Those seem like two completely different things. But those would be the two spaces that we are really looking at growth. The green energy one in particular, for me, because it's, to me, that's ridiculously low-hanging fruit. I mean, that topic is just everywhere right now. And we have a really amazing story to tell in that space. I don't think people really recognize that how green energy worked. I know I didn't understand how green energy worked. I literally thought that like the windmill turned and then water and energy came into your house. And I didn't understand that it has to get stored somewhere and it has to run through fuel cells and it has to be captured. And all of that means you need a pump. And so, and a lot of the things that are super exciting for me as I'm diving into the space and learning about it so I can share it is for wind farms in particular, a lot of them are moving like into the middle of the oceans. And so they're moving offshore just for space, you know, reasons. And that means it's really expensive to repair them, replace them. And we have pumps that have very low maintenance, very high efficiency. They don't cause leaks. So we are really growing into that space as people realize that it's a great niche for us.
As you've been doubling down on content marketing and education pieces, et cetera, I'm curious how I mean, because it's a very technical product, I'm sure, and I'm sure the folks that build it, like the engineers responsible, could probably get incredibly in depth and detailed about what the capabilities of the pumps are, and of course the use cases can probably be quite technical as well. How do you make a kind of a judgment call about how deep to go? And if you do, I'm curious about how you make that judgment call. Because I think it is something that a lot of marketers struggle with. It's like, how technical a story do I need to tell?
Yeah, that's a great question. This is one of the great spaces where my previous life helped, because I wrote hardcore medical for a general audience. And to me, it's the same concept. How detailed do you get when you're talking about a medical condition and the solution? is just the same as how technical do you get when you're talking about how this pump works. And I use my mom as my, that's my basis. How do I write it in a way that my mother would be able to read this and not have any questions and still understand it? My mom's very smart. So I don't want it to be, you know, like I'm writing it for my daughter. It's not her area of expertise. So I don't want to talk over her head. So I always have, that's my gauge is, would my mother be able to understand this? And then there's also different layers. There's the first time you put something out and it's to the general audience. And that's when it has to pass through my mother filter. As somebody comes into it and I can tell based on the questions they're asking, then I know how detailed I can get. And then depending on how much they're following that, that's when I go whoop, over my head, pass them on to an engineer. And I can do it that way. We have an insanely incredible team that works for Finnish Thompson that I don't know how they let me in the room. They are so smart. They are so incredibly gifted at what they do. They understand this space in a way that I don't know that I ever would. And they're patient in explaining it. And what I love the most, and it's one of the areas that we're going to kind of move into a little more, they're very show and tell. So when I was having a hard time understanding, actually related to the offshore wind farms, I was having a hard time understanding how to write something. One of the guys literally went and got the pump, got the part of the pump, brought it out, took it apart, showed me this goes here, that goes here. This is how this works. I'm like, now I know how to write that. So we're now looking at doing a ton more video for exactly that reason.
Do you sometimes look at what your competitors are doing and just kind of scratch your head? Like, because it seems like this approach is very intuitive and natural to you as you've kind of taken this approach to pivoting the marketing for Finnish Thompson. Does it surprise you that others aren't doing the same?
I don't worry about what other people are doing. I don't really know that I could tell you what other competitors are doing. My focus is what we're doing. And if something we're doing isn't working, you know, then absolutely I would take a look at the other competitors. I think the only time I really looked at what our competition was doing was probably in the first month I was here. And I just went through all of the trade mags and looked at who's advertising and who's not, before I made the decision to sort of stop that part of our marketing plan. And when I saw that what I was told was sort of our biggest competitors at the most were advertising once into those publications, that confirmed for me that that was probably not the space to do that. That's really the only time I've looked at it. I've looked at their websites. I have looked at the websites because I want to know about flow and things like that. But, you know, we're all different. All of the companies out here are different. The really big companies have multiple, you know, kind of divisions and groups under them. So I can't look at them because they aren't like us. That's kind of apples and oranges. So I don't really pay attention to what everyone else is doing. They're welcome to pay attention to what we're doing.
You know, you were wondering how that thinking that was going to sound like a bad answer, and I'm like, that's like the best answer ever.
It's exactly right up our street.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the only pump company we've ever worked with, only pump manufacturer, they manufacture fish pumps for moving fish from one place to another.
Although oddly, we have worked in the solvent recycling space. So when the story about these pumps being used in solvent was working, I'm like, my goodness.
That was in the 80s, like late 80s, early 90s. That's a lot of what we were doing.
Kind of moving beyond what had come before around the advertising and those trade pubs with the things that were probably not really generating the right kind of interest and the right kind of traffic. Have you partnered with or brought in any other specialized help to give you a hand and fuel the lift, as it were?
Yes, absolutely. This is part of my bias, but I immediately went to a PR firm, somebody who specialized more in the communications within the industry, you know, within this industrial manufacturing space. I always say that one of my special gifts is being very aware of knowing what I don't know. And I don't know the magazines, the publishers. I don't know the contacts to accomplish the branding that I wanted to do. I don't know who to reach out to. So I just researched who does know those people and contacted and connected with them. And so we have secured a PR firm that is helping us do that, what I would call earned media versus paid.
Now, I'm assuming that there has to be some overlap between the trade publications that you're terminating an advertising relationship with and those that you want to get some space with.
Ish. I would say ish.
Some overlap.
Where we were publishing, or where we were advertising, I should say, were in magazines that sell pumps. And I felt like we were advertising to our competitors, in my opinion. So what I have asked our firm to do is to seek out those industries and publications who need pumps, wastewater industry, aquarium industry, medical industry, bio, you know, DEF, biofuels, you know, the green energies, who are their publication. That's where I want them to see us. I want to go to the people we need to serve, not be sitting in a pool of people all doing the same thing we do. Then the sort of trade-off of that is in all of these trade magazines, as you guys know a thousand times more than I do, they have these sections in each of like a pump and systems or a processing trade pub where they have industry news. And so this firm is pitching industry news about us to those magazines that are in our space, in our pump space. So we'll still be in that, but not in an ad space. We'll be in that, in sort of that, what's going on, what's in the news, where's the new product, which is really where I would prefer us to be.
But I think the distinction in target publications is very instructive for people listening. Like that it's not just a pivot to earned media versus paid. It's actually a pivot to different types of publications that are actually speaking to end users versus the, frankly, the drinking your own bathwater that happens in so many industries. Yeah,
that just didn't make sense to me. As I said, the whole focus for me is we are solving a problem. Pumps just happen to be that solution. So I need to go to the people who need their problem solved to say, hey, we can help you with that.
It's like that age-old axiom of drill manufacturers should be looking for people who need to buy a hole, not a drill.
Yes, exactly. I love that. Yes.
What's you're a few months in and seeing some results and things are going well and you're still getting along with your siblings, so that's great. What's next? Where are you going?
Not career move. You're not trying to move her to her next role. Yeah.
I would say just more and bigger of the same. One of my big goals is to really focus on getting, much to his chagrin, my brother is an incredible thought leader in this space. He's got a ton of great ideas, a lot of great forward thinking. So if I had to put one big thing out there, it would be to get him in something like a Forbes magazine or the Wall Street Journal talking about the business of pumps.
I look forward to watching this unfold. I think the next 2 or 3 years are going to be very exciting at Finnish Thompson. Kimberly, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. It's been lovely to have you on the show.
It's been great. Thank you guys so much. It's been really fun. You've made it easy.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Cooler Ring with Carmen Perry and Jeff White. Don't miss a single manufacturing marketing insight. Subscribe now at KulaPartners.com/The Cooler Ring. That's KULA Partners.com/The Cooler Ring.